Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In 2010, we were made aware of a major development with a lead researcher at the National Cancer Institute who had changed her position from denying the link between abortion and breast cancer to co-authoring a paper acknowledging induced abortion as a known risk factor. Well, we were made aware of this from Karen Malik, a director at ABC, the Abortion Breast Cancer Coalition. Now there has been another significant development. A medical advisor for ABC has provided testimony and introduced a resolution at the annual meeting of shareholders for Johnson & Johnson. I've read the testimony that was delivered, and this is a stunning update, information that we all need to know and to share with others, and this has to do with oral birth control. So let's go right now to Karen Malik. Karen, welcome back to Bob Inyart Live.
Bob, thanks so much for having me on your program.
Well, you're very welcome. Karen, each time we've had you on, the information you've shared with us is stunning, and this, I know, is going to be tremendously informative, but also sad at the same time. How many women in America alone this year will be diagnosed with breast cancer?
For last year's estimates, it was 261,000 cases, in excess of 261,000 cases, total cases of breast cancer. And that includes both the in situ, which are the early breast cancers, and the more advanced invasive breast cancers.
Oh, my. So with 50 states in the country, sometimes it's easier to bring it home, the numbers. That means more than 5,000 women in each state, or in the average size state, will be diagnosed this year with breast cancer, more than 5,000 per state. Of course, this is a great tragedy. And so when I read the testimony that was given at Johnson & Johnson's annual meeting, it was stunning to me the fact that there is growing research that there is a dramatically increased risk for breast cancer from women who are taking birth control pills. So please explain the story to us.
We have research dating back to the 1980s that links use of the birth control pill with increased breast cancer risk. And the drugs that the World Health Organization was talking about in 2005, they had a group of 21 international scientists who looked at the research and classified the estrogen and progestin oral contraceptives, otherwise known as the birth control pill, as a group 1 carcinogen. That's the highest level of carcinogenicity. They also classified the combined hormone replacement therapy, combined meaning it's got estrogen and progestin in it. They classified these drugs as well as group 1 carcinogens.
So this
carcinogen is a cancer-causing agent.
A cancer-causing agent. So we'll get into the different studies and the meta-analysis of multiple studies from all over the world that are showing dramatic increased risk for breast cancer if you take these oral birth control pills, oral contraceptives. But it turns out that the testimony given to Johnson & Johnson came from this doctor. In fact, is it a she, Dr. Chris, who's a medical advisor for your coalition?
No.
It's a he.
No. Yes.
Okay, Dr. Chris Cullenborn, and he stated directly, he reminded Johnson & Johnson something they had to know already, that the World Health Organization had recently classified oral contraceptives as a group 1 carcinogen, the most dangerous type known to humankind.
That's right. And I want to add, I want to stress this one fact for women. In the paper that the World Health Organization scientists published in 2005, the authors, the researchers said that there are a number of different ways for these drugs to be delivered to women, not just orally. So when we're talking about the birth control pill, there are other, women need to keep in mind that there are other ways that they could be
in other
receiving
words,
these
could
drugs.
That be injections or patches?
Right, and also the vaginal ring. And I would also add that some IUDs have estrogen and progestin in them as well.
Some IUDs, and it's important to also remind the audience that an IUD, an intrauterine device, is also an abortifacient. It is designed specifically to kill that tiny little boy or girl after it's come into existence, after its conception.
Right. This would be through preventing implantation.
Right. So the conception occurs in the fallopian tube. The baby, almost immediately, according to Dr. Joel Brin from, I think, Baruch College in New York City, and he's an endocrinologist, and he knows about these things, that tiny little, the blastocyst, that tiny embryo sends out a message to the mother while it's still in the fallopian tube saying, basically, I'm here, I'm hungry, get ready to feed me. So the baby's,
that's right.
The baby's first cry to mom is before the baby gets to the womb, to her uterus, and so the IUD then kills that baby, making the uterus, the mother's womb, a hostile place, and the baby can't survive and it's automatically killed.
Right, and when the woman becomes pregnant, this blastocyst is sending out messages to the mother, feed me, and produce the HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, which is one of the pregnancy hormones. Conversely, I would like to say that HCG and the HPL, human placental lactogen, which are produced by the mother as well as the fetus, these hormones are responsible for helping to mature mom's breast lobules into permanently cancer-resistant lobules in the last months of full-term pregnancy.
And something else on that point, Dr. Brind, again, to reference him, as an endocrinologist, he's an expert in hormones, which are the chemical signals that are sent within a human or any organism between organs or between glands. And he points out that the embryo, the baby, is not an organ. It's a discrete organism. It's its own being. And so that chemical signal from the baby to the mother is more technically accurately described a pheromone, which I think is so very exciting. It's another argument from biology that this is not an organ. It's not a tissue. It's another organism sending out a signal now to mom, I'm here, I'm hungry, please feed me.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if everybody would agree with that particular statement. There may be some dispute about that.
Sure, right. Well, those who would deny that the baby is a different organism
right.
would have to deny that this was a pheromone.
Okay.
It
well,
seems. Anyway, that's Dr. Brin's argument, and it seems pretty neat. We've talked that through on this show a couple years ago.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Karen.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So, Karen, now the Dr. Chris Kallenborn, who testified at Johnson & Johnson, he was a co-author of a study that was published by the Mayo Clinic Proceedings. And
right.
that was in 2006.
It was a meta-analysis, actually.
A meta-analysis.
Which is a study. It's a type of study, and it's considered the gold standard.
And it's a study of all the other studies that have been done, looking at oral contraceptives and the breast cancer rates. And could I just quote from his testimony to Johnson & Johnson? He said, after reviewing all of the world's data, we found that 21 out of 23 studies showed an increased risk of developing invasive premenopausal breast cancer if women took oral contraceptives prior to the birth of their first child, which is when most women take them. And that's 21 out of 23 studies showed this, and these women incurred a 44% increased risk, which rose to over 50% if they took these pills for at least 4 years.
Yes, that's right. His findings were statistically significant, which means that scientists were at least 95% certain that their findings were not due to chance.
Hmm. And then didn't Chinese researchers quote his study? And
yes.
Then they did their own study in China?
Exactly. That's right.
And what was found there?
Dr. Kaelenborn indicates that women who took oral contraceptives had an increased risk of 112%.
In fact, their study that was published in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings was quoted in the Frontiers of Medicine in China, and their researchers performed their own meta-analysis, and they found exactly what you just indicated, a 112% increased risk in developing breast cancer. Karen, breast cancer has not hit my immediate family, so I only know of the horror of it through friends and others who have suffered this crisis in their lives. And to think that our culture is so committed to abortion and abortifacients that they would basically hide this from the women of America, so many of them who end up with breast cancer don't realize that this was one of the most preventable forms of cancer that is known to the world.
It sounds incredible that people could do such a thing, doesn't it?
Mm.
But the bias in favor of induced abortion, in favor of the birth control pill and other forms of abortifacients is so great that these people are willing to put women's lives at risk. It's hard to imagine, but it's very much like what happened with the tobacco industry. And I think people can relate to that. You know, it's hard to understand, but there really are people in the world who are willing to do such things.
Mm.
I think when we remember what happened with tobacco, it makes it easier to understand that it could happen again. And this time, it's not just about making money. It's also very much about ideology.
Hmm. So that with the tobacco industry, it was overwhelmingly primarily about money and denying the overwhelming evidence that tobacco leads to lung cancer. It dramatically increases the risk of lung cancer. So they denied that mostly for the money in it. In this case, it's not only the money for Johnson & Johnson and their shareholders, it's also an ideology that is hostile to children, hostile to human beings. There's a war against people and against children, almost like a jihad in America and around the world. And so this is part of that. If the birth control pill and abortion is going to get rid of more poor people, more minorities, and so on around the world, then they're going to defend it regardless of the damage to women.
Well, yes, and Planned Parenthood's IRS documents actually say that part of their mission is population control.
Mm.
They say it in so many words that part of their mission is population control,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that the U.S. has a sustainable population, population size that our leaders really want.
Yeah. Well,
but this is not what they say to women publicly on their website, for instance. They say this is about women's health, quote unquote.
Right.
But the birth control pill and oral contraceptives, these pills and the patches and injections, et cetera, this is about harming women's health. Mm. This is about young mothers who are losing their lives, whose children are being left without a mother at very, very young ages and left to other relatives to raise. And so it should not come as a surprise to us that the same people who are in favor of taking a child's life are also opposed to letting their mothers know that abortion and the birth control pill may kill them.
May kill them. And of the 260,000 women in America this year who will be diagnosed with breast cancer, when we look, we're talking right now about the increased risk for those women who take oral contraceptives and actually oral birth control. They kill the baby, many of these various birth control methods. And then there's the risk that comes from abortion itself, so that tens of thousands of these women, their breast cancer could have been prevented if only our pharmaceutical industry and our medical community and the National Cancer Institute, if they were honest with women and told the truth that these things are deadly.
That's right. It's sad, but that is the truth. Hmm. Dr. Angela Lanfranchi wrote a paper back in 2008 in the spring for the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. And I can get you the title of that paper here if you just give me a second. But in this paper, she documented the bias of the National Cancer Institute and bias among medical organizations as well. This is a feminist bias where doctors, scientists that are National Cancer Institute and other medical organizations have such a deep bias that they're willing to put out misinformation about these risks, the risks of abortion and the birth control pill. And let's face it, if you look at the meta-analysis that Dr. Kaelenborn and his colleagues published in Mayo Clinic Proceedings, then you can see that this research goes back to the 1980s. You can do a Medline search. You can do a search on Medline or on PubMed under breast cancer, oral contraceptives, and you can see all the research going back into the 1980s. Mm-hmm. Women weren't told about this, and why not?
Well, so, and why not? Because it's ideological. I use the word jihad before, I think, and I think it's accurate. There is a jihad against children in the world. In fact, Hillsdale College puts out their monthly newsletter, Imprimis, and I think it's the current newsletter. It's the vice president of News Corporation writing an article, and he talks about the absurdity of the notion that when a child is born, that it harms the wealth of a nation. They say,
yes,
it's absurd to think that the moment a calf is born, that the wealth of the nation is increased, and the moment a baby, a human baby is born, the wealth of the nation is diminished. He said that is so absurd on the face of it, and yet that is actually believed by, I think, those who are in rebellion against God. God made us in his image, in his likeness, so a war against children is like a war against God. It's the way that people express their rebellion against their creator. So, Karen, there, yes. I believe that's the source of the ideological commitment that causes even the National Cancer Institute and so many other groups to misrepresent and deceive women, making them think that abortion and these birth control methods are healthy.
Yes, and Dr. Lanfranchi wrote about this in her article entitled The Federal Government and Academic Texts as Barriers to inform consent. So in other words, the federal government and also the texts that are used by physicians and scientists, these have functioned as barriers to women being given the information that they need in order to protect their health. Now, her article, again, is in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons in the spring of 2008. It's available online at JPANDS.org. So, you know, for women who really doubt this, that scientists could possibly do this to women, they really are doing it. Read Dr. Lanfranchi's article, because she makes a very powerful argument here. She actually quotes a scientist by the name of Dr. Leslie Bernstein, who, after the National Cancer Institute did its phony workshop on the abortion breast cancer link in 2003, she said, and she was one of the moderators slash leaders at this phony workshop, she told CancerPage.com essentially that she knew that the best way for women to prevent breast cancer was by having more children, especially starting at a younger age. She called it the biggest bang for the buck is having that first full term, early first full term birth. And the younger you are, she said, when you have your first full term birth, the lower your risk is. But then she went on to say why she didn't want women to know about the breast cancer risk associated with having an induced abortion. She said, I would not be a proponent of telling women that they should have more babies in order to prevent breast cancer. And I don't want the link between abortion and breast cancer to, quote, be part of the mix in the debate on induced abortion.
So in other words,
on the legality of induced abortion. So she doesn't want Roe v. Wade to fall. She
right.
doesn't want that court decision making abortion legally accessible to fall, because it's well documented now that induced abortion harms women's health.
When we were able to reach you, Karen, and set up this interview, I called over to American Rights Alive, and they agreed to update on their website, AmericanRightsAlive.org/cancer. They have an article about all these things, and they occasionally update it with the latest information, meta-analysis, surveys, and their links, largely their links to your coalition, the Abortion Breast Cancer Coalition, but it's a great central repository to let people know what is happening. And so they're going to add, right there at American Rights Alive, they're going to add information about your current press release.
Oh, good. You're talking about National Rights Alive?
No, I'm not. This is American Rights Alive.
Okay.
And American Rights Alive is the personhood group, whereas National Rights Alive is opposed personhood.
Oh, okay.
Are they very open to spreading the word about abortion and breast cancer, National Rights Alive?
They have reported a great many things about the abortion breast cancer link, and they've included many articles and interviews with Dr. Joel Brind.
Great. That is good. It's commendable of them to do that. So this is American Rights Alive. So, Karen, is there anything else that you would like to add to this?
I would like to say this resolution was presented before Johnson & Johnson's shareholders by Dr. Chris Kaelenborn, who is our medical advisor, and he was acting on behalf of Human Life International, which is a shareholder in Johnson & Johnson,
right.
And he presented this resolution asking that the shareholders agree that sales of the pill should be stopped because of the cancer risk, and also asking that Johnson & Johnson change its employment policy to one of non-discrimination against breast cancer survivors, including those who oppose the sale of the birth control pill, and of course the shareholders voted against it after Johnson & Johnson's board of directors sent a message saying that the resolution is not necessary.
Right, and
they didn't believe that it was necessary, they said.
Yeah, and one could imagine the hostile environment if some official at Johnson & Johnson began to lobby for education on the pill and its increasing breast cancer around the world. You could just imagine how difficult that would be.
Sure, and so we're just asking your listeners to please contact William Weldon, who is the CEO there at Johnson & Johnson, and it's Weldon, W-E-L-D-E-N, William Weldon, and he's at 1 Johnson & Johnson Plaza, New Brunswick, New Jersey, 08933. Their phone number is 732.
All right, we're almost out of time. Go ahead, 732.
524-0400.
0400. And Karen Malik, it's M-A-L-E-C, the Coalition on Abortion Breast Cancer. And your website, Karen?
AbortionBreastCancer.com.
AbortionBreastCancer.com. Thank you for joining us again. It's always an honor to have you on.
Bob, thank you for this interview.
Well, you're very welcome. May God bless you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
All right. So we are out of time, but this is so very important, and it's also an opportunity to show that when industries turn to killing children, they're also willing to lie to all kinds of people to continue that practice. God bless you.
Hey, science fans. Now you can have all of the Real Science Friday shows on MP3 CD from 2007, 2008, or 2009. Here, Bob and Fred present the compelling scientific evidence that the Earth is young and that there is a creator. Real Science Friday 2007, 2008, and 2009 are each available by calling 1-800-8-NYART. Or you can get the MP3 CDs or the MP3 downloads at kgovstore.com.